Well, nowadays, just about everybody uses text messaging. But the real question for us is, should churches be using text messaging? Well, we think the answer is probably yes, but we have a few caveats. And in today's episode, we'll talk about 8 essentials for text messaging for churches. We hope this conversation helps your church reach more people and grow. This is the Reach Right Podcast. You're listening to the Reach Right Podcast, the show dedicated to helping pastors and church leaders reach people the right way. Hosted by me, Thomas Costello, and with me as always is my co-host, Ian Hyatt. We're here to help your church see more visitors and grow. Hey guys, welcome to the Reach Right Podcast, episode number 91. I am your host, Thomas Costello, and with me, as always, is my co-host,
Ian Hyatt. What's up, Thomas?
Hey, not much, Ian, man. Excited to talk today, to talk to you in person, because today we're going to be talking about the main way that people talk nowadays, it seems like. Yeah. Now, you and I are from a time where when we were younger, we would have to call people on the phone.
Yeah.
And today we're going to be talking about the new way that people primarily communicate.
Yeah.
We're talking about text messaging for churches. 8 essentials for text messaging for churches is our topic. So
yeah.
I don't know, like when text messaging started, I don't know if you're like me or not, but I was text message resistant when it first started, right? I was like, why would I text someone? I'll just pick up the phone and call them.
Yeah.
And I have become as of 10 years ago now, I've become a full-fledged convert to the world of text messaging, where I would absolutely prefer to receive a text message than having to talk. And I'd much rather send a text message than talk.
Yeah.
Agreed?
Agreed. I'm the same. And I started out resistant too. But it quickly started making sense. So
I'm that way with everything, though. If I look at my life, I was probably on MySpace and I was Facebook resistant. And I was like, I don't know if I want to make the leap. I'm already on a social network.
Yeah.
So, and then I became Instagram resistant because I'm already on Facebook, and I'm still in the very firmly in the camp of TikTok resistance on a personal level. Or Snapchat resistance.
Yeah.
So maybe that's just part of getting older that we do that. But I have, and I imagine our audience has, and certainly the churches that they lead have all fully embraced text messaging.
Yeah.
And I think churches probably took a little bit longer to adapt to text messaging than we did on a personal level. I imagine a lot of our audience doesn't really rely on text messaging right now. I know I last pastored a church about 2.5 years ago now, and we did some text messaging, but it was very, very small, a very small amount of text messaging. I don't know that we had a lot of this in place, the stuff we're going to talk about today, the essentials for text messaging here.
Yeah.
I don't know. Tell me about your church. Do you guys, is a lot of your communication done via text now?
We'll dig more into the specifics, of course, as we go, but that's the method of communication that I prefer to get updates and events and things that our church is doing. So our church has fully embraced that. It's been something that I'd actually say in the last couple of years we've vamped more up on that on texting.
I think the pandemic maybe moved people forward with that a little bit. It was probably helpful to people in that season for kind of quick communication.
Yep.
But there are a lot of mistakes that we see churches make too. We'll get into some of that a little bit in just a second there. So, but what do you think? Let's talk, I guess, before we get into these essentials. What do you think that... Is that what people want? Like, would you say that that's the preferred way for most of our audience to connect with their church now?
Well, I think it depends on what it is you're communicating, right? The reason for a text over an email per se or a phone call.
Right.
But I would say in general, for most things, I think so. And I think we'll dig into more of the reasons for that. But the first thing that comes to mind is quick and convenient.
I think you're right. I think that we saw some studies here that that like when it comes to business communication, this is interesting. This is from Statista. Yeah. They did this study and they said that 25% of smartphone users, which is everybody basically now, or most adults, 25% of them prefer getting business messages via text. So that it's kind of a sacred space still. Like I feel like the reason why a lot of us like texts so much more than email is because our email, if it's anything like yours is like mine, it's like 90% of it is not on a personal nature. It's not someone directly that I know talking about something personal with me.
Exactly.
It's usually more like, you know, it's I probably get 50 different promotional messages every day,
sales
10
related,
messages that are automated from forums or social media, that kind of stuff. And then maybe a couple that are just on a personal level, like someone that typing out a message that was specific to me. And that's the thing about text messaging is if I scroll through my texts, you know, most of them are personal texts.
Right.
You know, occasionally businesses will do something like I went to a restaurant the other day and they say, go wait for your table. And then they send me a text when my table's ready. It's a one-time thing. Yeah. I'm not getting, you know, daily special texts from them about, hey, here's
hey, we have a booth open right now. We have another table open.
And so I think that the statistics seem to say that there is a little bit of hesitancy for people when it comes to text messages from businesses. Now, I know that churches are not businesses, and ideally people will think of messages from your church as something from a person, and it's something that they have an actual relationship. But we all hope that people want to receive our text messages when we send them. But we feel that same way about church emails, right? Like that we all hope and wish that everybody would open every single church email that we send. But the statistics show that if you get, I don't know, like if you get 10% of people clicking on a link in your email, that's a huge win. Like so I don't know. I think I'm a little bit I think the statistics don't bear out that I think that there's just some best practices. That's why we have this whole episode today.
Right.
That if we embrace these things we're going to talk about, you can do text messaging in your church, I'd say more successfully. I think that it's something that that I think we can kind of overcome some of these objections that people have and make it something that's worthwhile.
Yeah, that's I totally agree.
Cool. All right. Well, why don't we kick it then? We'll go into the eight best practices. Why don't you kick us off with the first one?
Yeah. First one's establish a texting policy. So I think that is good because as we're talking about, there's when we were just differentiating between email, phone calls compared to text, I think since it is relatively new and just like for anything that we decide to facilitate in church as a practice with our members or new people, it's good to have a plan and have a policy. Okay, this is what we're going to make sure we text for. You know, is it going to, you know, is it going to be mass texting? If it's mass texting, okay, how's that going to be used? What's the policy for that? Compared to like if it's a ministry leader, individual ministry leader texting someone like a men's, like for example, my men's pastor at our church, he'll send me direct texts sometimes. And those are
that
more personal.
You know that he typed that out on his phone himself, you're saying.
So, but it's not so much just the methods we're talking about. Have a policy about each method, I guess, is what we're saying.
I think it's so important to write something down before you start doing that. I think that personal text messaging is totally fair game. I think if a first-time visitor comes and you have the time to type them a personal message as the pastor or some a leader in the church, great. Go ahead and do that.
Yeah, have a policy to not hound them.
Absolutely. We'll talk more about that in just a second. I think that, you know, personal messages, those are almost always fair game. Have a policy about it. But I think the policy really comes into place more with what are we going to text about? When will we do texting? And we'll talk more about some of these things in these best practices here. But just making sure you have some of this stuff written down, because what I've seen happen at churches is that, especially at a large church where you have multiple ministries and someone might be involved in serving in youth ministry, they're in the women's ministry, they also do a missions on a missions team there, they're on the worship team. And so they're getting messages that are general church messages and worship team messages and youth ministry messages. And after a while, they're getting four or five different text messages a day and they just kind of drown in them. So the less you text, the more impactful each message is going to be. I think that's really what it comes down to. So having a policy that helps you sort out when we're going to text, when we're not going to text, how often we can text, those kinds of things are really important, I'd say.
That's good.
Awesome. All right. So get a policy. Second thing, and this is one that I think a lot of churches skip, is get permission. I think it's really important that when you start a text messaging campaign, this is more for the automated ones. I think you probably don't need to have permission to write a personal message from your phone to somebody else's phone. That's probably okay. But I think if you're going to put somebody on a distribution list where a text will go out to the entire children's ministry team or the entire church who's interested in advance, I think you want to be really careful with that. And it's not acceptable to have everybody that has ever given you their phone number be on your text messaging list here, because there are visitors that came one time 2 years ago and they don't really need to know about what's happening with kids ministry and the Halloween party that's happening this week.
I'd be a little taken back if, you know, my son who's in fifth grade, you know, I got a text message, hey, Luke's invited to this. I'm like, what, you know, without giving permission. I'm like, who's inviting my son somewhere? Right.
So, And
it can come off as spamming too, when you don't give permission.
Absolutely. You know, and I think that's one of the big goals.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, we get plenty, you know, there's plenty of spam emails, but now that has increased big time with texting too. And my phone blocks, you know, several spam texts each day.
Yeah. So here, I think about the way we do it here at ReachRight. So we don't have like we're not text messaging everybody that ever gives us or requests some information. We're not putting them on some kind of a long-term text list. The only time we really, I know you personally write texts to people all the time where you're typing them out, and that's fine.
Yeah.
And then when people opt in for like text reminders for appointments and those kinds of things, we will automatically send those. But really having some kind of a system where people will opt in and get permission, I think that's really important. So the ways you can do that, wherever you're getting a phone number, you can have a simple checkbox that says, hey, I'd like to, you know, send me text information or email and text updates about what's happening there. You could have them check a box in that way.
Yeah. Form, like an online form from there too. Yep.
Definitely. But I think for some of our, for a church that maybe you're not doing a lot of texting right now, if you're going into this or you're going in for the first time, starting to do some more mass texting or automated text for churches, I think if you're under 150 or 200 people, you can probably take a look at people in your church and start your list with the people that you think will be okay. And I'm not here to give legal advice. You know, I don't, you know, I guess legally you should probably give everybody in your church a form that says, yes, please opt me in to text messages and those kinds of things. But I think that for the most part, if it were me and my church, I would take a look at the people that are regularly a part of what we're doing at our church and get that. And then from that point on, I would invite new people to opt in when they're filling out connection cards, when they're filling out online forms, those kinds of things. And I would go from there.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Awesome.
I think it's a good segue into the next one too, is that once you get that established, you know, you need a good message introduction. So again, once you have the permission and everything, it needs to, again, getting back to like, you know, spam, and you don't want anything to be vague. You want to identify when you send that text, whether it's a mass text or whatever, a group text or whatever you would set up with this, there needs to be an introduction, church's name, obviously stating that, you know, this person has decided to opt in for text messages, that there's help and stop instructions and all of that thing. So that makes it official, obviously, and more valid. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that most churches, in my experience, miss the how to opt out. And I think that's really important because if you're not doing that, you're getting numbers blocked. You start to get your text messages not delivered the same way. There are spam filters that work with text messages too. Otherwise, we'd all be barraged. And these are all done not on our level, but on like the provider level.
Right.
So I know that I use Google Fi for my wireless plan.
Yeah.
And they filter out a lot of the worst messages that I'm getting text message wise because it would be just berated with that. But so, you know, we've all got them from big companies before where it'll say, hey, text this to stop, text this for help, text this, or standard messaging rates may apply, some of that kind of stuff there. All of that is to kind of cover you legally. But I think at a minimum, helping people know how to opt out if they've come one time and they're starting to get these things they thought they wanted it, but you're texting them too much, giving them answers answers on how to do that. That's important. And it's actually a legal requirement that you do some of those things too. So again, not legal advice. We're not here to do that, but take a look into what the requirements are. I think you're right. An introduction is a good idea.
Yeah, good. Why don't you tackle the next one?
Yeah, next one is pretty simple, but something you need to think about is you need to make sure you're texting during standard business hours. Mm-hmm. I would recommend not texting. You could probably stretch it a little bit into the evening, but I probably wouldn't text before 9 a.m. I probably wouldn't text after 7 p.m. I think somewhere in that range is reasonable for these kinds of messages here. I know that seems pretty self-explanatory, but let me tell you this. If you're a church that has a large online audience, recognize that not everybody is there in your time zone. And I am well aware of this. In Hawaii, I can't tell you how often I will get messages from people, even though I have a Hawaii area code and it should be obvious, but I get calls or messages at 5 a.m., 6 a.m. They say, oh, it's business hours on the East Coast here. And so let's give them a call, not thinking that we're 6 hours behind. So 9 a.m. there is 3 a.m. here in Hawaii. So I know this is not for most churches because most of your audience is going to be they're local, but more and more we're connecting with people, and we have, if you're doing it right on your online services, you probably have a call to action where people can give you their information and maybe they'll opt in to text there. Just make sure that you're aware of where they're located and think about that if someone is far away or in a different time zone from you.
Yeah, it's good. Nothing much to add there. I think that's just that's a good practice, right, with a lot of things is within normal business hours, respecting people's time off at the end of the day. I know even sometimes I get personal text messages into the evening. I'm already kind of checked out for the day and you know, want to take a little bit of break from responding and doing much or, you know, so it's obvious. It's kind of common sense, I should say, stuff. So,
yep, absolutely. Mm.
Good. Next one is use a standard greeting. So, something funny comes to mind. When you and I were at a past company, there was a representative that was on our staff that would greet people over the phone without kind of a standard greetings and salutations.
We had to tell them to use a standard human greeting.
Right. Instead of just,
yelling their name,
someone's name. Right. So he'd yell out their name, you know, Blanca. And people wouldn't, who is this is kind of the next comment he would get. And so, you know, same thing with texting etiquette. Use a standard greeting to avoid confusion, too, and so that people know it's valid. So,
yeah, I think that you got to remember that when you're doing a text message, a lot of people don't have your church number, whether you're doing a short number or a long number, different ways you can do text depending on what service you're using.
Yeah.
They a lot of times won't have that saved in their phone. So if you're using it through a mass texting system or through your church management software, whether it's Planning Setter or Fellowship One or any of those, what will happen is that it'll just be 5 digits and nobody has saved those 5 digits and they'll just get something. So if it's just if you go right into the message, they'll be like, who is this person or who is this that's texting me now?
Yep.
So always use, hey, this is Thomas here from First Baptist or whatever you would say, but make sure you have a personal greeting at the beginning of every single one of these messages. Don't assume that after 40 of them that they've saved you into their phone or that it's in there. You'll want to have a greeting there every single time. So yeah, I think you are exactly right. I will say this with, I'll give a little bit of something we've learned over the years, and I don't know this really applies to churches, but we've talked about this. When we are trying to engage with someone who we're having a hard time connecting with, what did we find was the best way to start a text message to get someone to respond? Do you remember?
Put their name with a question mark.
With a question mark. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's something that I don't think churches would be using that unless you're maybe if you've sent 6 or 7 text messages to someone and haven't gotten a response from them on a personal level, like if you sent and you thought you had the right number, you know, writing, hey, Joe, question mark, and then seeing if they respond. But yeah, I think that in general, using your whole church, your church name greeting is going to be important every time.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I think you got the next one.
Yep. Next one is keep messages short and sweet. Text messages aren't a good place for long prayer requests detailing the life support situation of someone that's in your church or trying to organize meal plans and giving a long list of who's on Wednesday and
emails
who's on Thursday.
Emails would be better for that.
This is not what text is for. Text is for short, sweet. Think of it like a tweet, basically. And you should never be sending text messages that go into multiple texts. As a general rule, you're looking at, maybe 140 characters. So something short, a quick announcement, a quick thing you need to know. Those are the kind of things that we're looking for in here.
Yeah, that's good. I'm excited about the next one here, which is use emojis sparingly. We've talked a lot about how emojis are, I know you were saying how you're anti-emoji in a lot of ways. I'm not anti-emoji, but I'm not like numerous emojis in texts or anything like that. I'll throw in one or two. Same applies here, is keep them sparingly here, especially with this type of a text message. I mean, maybe when it's a personal thing with your friend and you're laughing, you can find the laughing with the tears coming out and the other emojis that that you have with that. But here you want to keep it pretty simple because you can clutter things up. And that's in the vein of what you just said, keeping it short and sweet. But the reason I was kind of excited about this is I remember when my daughter, who's, a teenager, got her phone for the first time and she was texting with her friends. I would see, like, when we were seeing her messages and helping her with the phone and everything, like 10 different emojis. And, it would be a heart, it would be a smiley face, but then it would be an upside down smiley face and a palm tree. And I'm like, what does this all mean? What is someone communicating with 10 different things? So, it made me think of that. Keep them. They do add, personality and they keep things lighthearted. I use emojis and emails to our clients and those things. But I guarantee you, I'm not going to do a lot of them. Same thing here. So it's good to use them sparingly.
Yeah, we've gone from like the days of the hieroglyphics of the Egyptians all the way back to the 2022 and your daughter making hieroglyphics on her text messages using pictures to tell stories on there. Yeah. So crazy world that we live in. Know that I'm not personally, I don't send a lot of emojis, but all of our research shows that emojis actually get results when it comes to, if your goal is to engage people, which it should be in a church, you want to engage with people, emojis make you more personal, and I think that they'll give you a better spot. So I don't recommend having entire messages in emojis, but I think having an emoji every few messages or a couple of emojis every few messages, that's probably appropriate. And we've done a lot of research, like I said, with our email marketing at least, emojis in subject lines are killer. They're really great at, like if you put an emoji in your subject line on an email, you're going to get a much higher open rate on those emails. So they're proven to work. But I think that you can definitely overkill and do too much there.
It's funny, I'm thinking of our church. The last mass text message I got was for a men's night, like a man night is what we call it. And we do a lot of stuff geared towards men's ministry and a big event and all of that. And it was a very, especially with men, do you even want to keep it more simple typically is what I would think. But I was just picturing if they would have done, it's man night, put a picture of a man, invite one of your buddies, then they show another man with another man. And then they have like, a calendar emoji and check mark. That'd have been too much. But all those things
went through
my mind.
It would have been too much,
So maybe have a man or a muscle or something like that. But not too much. So
something like that seems appropriate. So all right, I'll bring us home here today. So the last one is keep your messages relevant and timely. So you probably should not yet be sending Easter emojis or Easter emojis, Easter texts now. Probably not Easter emojis either. It's a little bit early, even though it's only a few weeks away. Maybe if you're trying to remind people time to invite is now, those kinds of things. But it's not something we should be using over and over again for multiple reminders. It has to be something that is timely and actionable, like now. If it's just something we want someone to be thinking about, it's probably not the way, text messages isn't the way to do it. If there's an action to take today to come. So if you're going to be talking about your services, for instance, you're going to send a text message. The time to do that is on Sunday morning or on Saturday night, like right before, so people can start to get ready or get on their way there. Yeah. If it's a reminder to serve, it's going to be at a very timely time. It's not, we do, here's one a week in advance, here's one 3 days in advance, here's one an hour before. So you want to be timely and keep them really relevant and make sure everything kind of is staying in that vein.
It's good. It's good stuff.
Awesome. Yeah. Anything else to add about text messaging as we close up?
No, I think, you know, I think it just, I think for most churches, it makes sense. I think based on what we've shared, I mean, and it's not to say you can't be effective without doing text, but we hear from more churches asking us about this. And I think that I specifically personally love them for updates. There's more that you could do too, but it's just, they're quick, they're short, and they keep you top of mind. So,
yeah, I think for updates, they're great. And I totally agree. I think that everybody loves the personal ones though. I think that that's something that is always okay. And so if you're not, I know there was some hesitancy for people to send text messages on a personal level to people for a while. Like, I don't want to bother them with a text message.
Right.
I think it's okay. I think people prefer that and they want that. So if you're on the fence about it, start using it personally, consider using it for mass things within your church there for updates, those kinds of things. But yeah, I think it's a pretty big opportunity a lot of churches can take advantage of. So we hope this has been helpful for you. Yeah. If it has been helpful, please rate, review, subscribe, let us know in the comments. I want to remind you guys that a lot of our episodes are kind of listener and watcher generated. So if you have any questions or things you want us to cover, or maybe topics that we're not we're not discussing here in the Reach Right podcast, let us know in the comments below. We'd love to consider it and maybe add it in, and we'll even give you credit if it's something that you recommend and we wind up doing an episode about it. So thank you guys so much for being a part of our Reach Right family. And we'll catch you next week.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Reach Right podcast. We hope this episode will help you reach people the right way. Looking for more resources for your church? Check us out online at reachrightstudios.com. If this episode has been helpful to you, it would mean the world to us if you would rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.